And a lot more goods are rolling along the nation's highways these days. That's good news for the economy and also for truckers. Frank Morris of member station KCUR in Kansas City hit the road to see how the rebound in freight traffic is helping truckers.
Highway 71 going toward Kansas City. I'm trying to get over a lane, but I got this big truck blocking my way. There's a truck ahead of me and there's a truck behind me. There we go. Seems like there are more trucks on the road these days. Turns out there are.
Well, what we're seeing is a definite pickup in overall freight activity.
Tavio Headley, an economist with the American Trucking Associations, says freight traffic has risen pretty steadily since late last year. This April was almost 10% better than the one before. The broad gauge ATA uses to monitor the trucking industry has climbed back to where it was just before the recession.
So that's very positive news.
Cause for celebration, even. The Truckers' Jubilee, held at a truck stop in Oak Grove, Missouri, is part barn dance, part job fair. And at this one, job seekers have the upper hand. Sunday Muse Morton is here with O&S Trucking. She's got a roulette wheel, doling out trucker swag to entice would-be employees.
Because we're having to turn down freight because we don't have enough drivers. I mean, for all the freight shortage last year, it's coming back now stronger than ever, and we literally can't keep up.
Ronnie, what's the last name?
Over on the other side of the tent, Mark Welch is working for Landstar, a company that employs drivers who have their own trucks, so-called owner-operators.
Capacity right now is tight, to say the least, and we're anticipating it getting worse. Because a lot of owner-operators just left the industry in the last couple of years.
Some 1,700 small trucking companies folded just last year. Yet, even as the freight market improves, trucking businesses continue to go under. Semi-trucks lost a lot of value in the downturn. There was a glut. Now that freight is moving briskly again, the trucks are in demand. Since they're worth more, banks are more inclined to repossess them. 730 companies went under just in the first few months of this year. It could easily have been 731.
January, I thought I was going to have to quit. I was going to go ahead and file bankruptcy and be done with it.
Robert Manley got his banker in Marshall, Missouri to give him a break, even though he'd fallen behind on the payments on his old truck.
Well, since the new motor I put in it, it's got 400,000 miles on it, on the motor. But the whole truck itself's got over 1,250,000.
With a strong increase in freight traffic early this spring, Manley was able to march back into his bank to settle up.
No, I went in person and got him the money. Signed the title over to me, took the title, went into the bank vault and put it right there.
You don't get rich driving a truck. Many drivers make less than $40,000 a year, some less than $30,000. For their long hours and weeks away from home. And as truckers say, if the wheels don't roll, they don't get paid. For now, Robert Manley and others like him are grateful they're rolling often enough and long enough to cover the bills. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
The latest report on the housing market is not good. Sales of existing homes for the month of May fell, and that's despite low interest rates, lower home prices, and the government's tax credit. The sluggishness in the housing market is frustrating to real estate agents. They're bracing for a tough summer. NPR's Joshua Brockman reports.
Selma Jaeger has sold real estate for 38 years and has the trophies and plaques to prove it. But it's hardly a trophy moment in Prince George's County, Maryland, which borders Washington, D.C. Jaeger says most of her listings have been sitting on the market for months.
I'm calling it a declining market. The prices from the seller's point of view are going down, dwindling, declining, and the buyers feel that the prices are too high, and that's the problem.
What's all that doing for your business?
Tough, tough, tough.
This tough market is especially exasperating for realtors because home prices are the lowest they've been in ages, and interest rates are also at historic lows. In fact, mortgage payments on a median price home fell below 20% of median household income. That's the lowest level in nearly 40 years, according to a recent report by Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies. Nicholas Ritsinas, the center's director, says the implosion of the housing market hurt many people, but first-time homebuyers have emerged as winners because owning a home is now within reach.
But now with prices falling back to levels that were last seen in the beginning of this decade, with interest rates at historic lows, if they have good credit, and that's a big if, owning a home now becomes an option.
Just keep going straight ahead. You're going to stay out in 450, okay?
Here in the Maryland suburbs, Selma Jager is giving me a tour of homes she's trying to sell. Our destination is a brick house on a quiet block. It's been on the market for nearly 280 days. So, in an effort to move things along, Selma Jager added this message to the for sale sign in the front lawn.
I'm gorgeous inside. On this main level, we have 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. So this is the whole bath.
The price started at $349,000. Then they dropped it by $20,000. It may move lower still. That's because it's competing with many houses that banks now own and are trying to unload at rock-bottom prices. Ritsinas of Harvard says a third of all U.S. sales presently fall into this category of foreclosures and short sales.
We're not going to have a sustainable housing market where such a large number of sales are distressed sales.
Selma Jager says at least 2 of her 9 listings have been on the market for more than 1 year. So, to stay upbeat, she throws anniversary parties.
At our weekly sales meeting, I bring in cake and ice cream, just like you'd celebrate an anniversary. Unfortunately, it's not a happy celebration, though, because that means I've had the house on the market for longer than a year.
One thing homebuyers can celebrate is low mortgage rates. Keith Gumbinger, a mortgage analyst for HSH.com, says rates have benefited from economic turmoil overseas as investors shifted money into the safety of U.S. Treasury bonds.
Low and stable mortgage rates are providing important supports to the housing market. With the ending of the tax credit offer this spring, demand has fallen off to some degree.
He's referring to a federal tax credit that was intended to jumpstart the housing market, but it ended in April. Homebuyers with a binding sales contract have until the end of June to complete the paperwork. Realtors like Jager hope that buyers will take the plunge this summer, even without the federal incentive. Joshua Brockman, NPR News.
The beer industry loves summer when hot days lead to cool beers. But that's happening less and less. Sales of some of the country's most popular brews have gone flat. So the industry has put on tap new ad campaigns it hopes will encourage calls for another round. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
The spot off Main in Bellevue, Washington, is a neighborhood place for billiards and beer. The number one selling U.S. brand, Bud Light, is on tap. Assistant manager John Stevens says his bartenders are pouring less of it than they used to.
Everyone's budget went down. That includes their entertainment dollars when they go out to drink in bars.
A lot of young men, beer's biggest fans, have lost their jobs. Some are skipping bars altogether in favor of drinking at home. But those sales, at least of the premium and high-profit brands, are down too. Indeed, overall beer consumption is off about 4%, according to the industry. Julian Green of Miller Coors, the nation's second-largest brewer, says his company is doing what it can to keep the beer money flowing its way.
It's important for us to continue to innovate and try to create new news in the marketplace.
The company is rolling out a new brand called Batch 19, but most of the innovation focuses on packaging with ads like this one.
What is that?
The new Miller Lite Vortex bottle.
The craftsmanship, the grooves, where did you get it?
The new Miller Lite Vortex bottle.
It's new packaging is a relatively low-cost way for a company to show it's doing something new, and it might generate some short-term buzz. But Harry Balzer of the market research firm NPD suggests it may not be enough to boost sales over time.
The only benefit you provide me is novelty. And the problem with novelty, in the end, is that once I tried, it's no longer new. It's old.
The one bright spot in the domestic beer market is craft beer, produced by small independent microbreweries, names like Boston Brewing, Sierra Nevada, and here in downtown Seattle, the Pike Brewing Company. The brewery's owner, Charles Finkel, oversees every detail of production, even the bottling. Finkel's been in the craft beer business for decades, and he dismisses the innovations being trumpeted by the major brands.
It has nothing to do with what is the raw material, where does the malted barley come from, what hops do they use, how much hops do they use.
Back at the Spot on Main, assistant manager Steven says more drinkers are choosing craft beers, even though they cost more per ounce.
People realize that it's good flavor, and they want the more sophisticated flavor. And everyone's palate has just gotten better. Plus, they're higher alcohol content, so people get a buzz on them quicker. And I think that's part of it, too.
Craft beers are still just a tiny piece of the overall market. But at a time when we are drinking less beer, craft brew sales are up more than 10%. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.
Speaking of craft beer, a couple of bills have been brewing in Congress. They're aimed at stimulating the economy and creating jobs by reducing excise taxes for small breweries. Those are defined as breweries producing fewer than 6 million barrels of beer per year. The proposals have bipartisan support. Democrat John Kerry introduced the Senate bill last month, and Republican Olympia Snow is one of the co-sponsors. Another bill is fermenting in the House. Freight traffic is increasing because manufacturing has been increasing. It's one of the bright spots in the economy right now. Despite high unemployment, American manufacturers have seen five straight quarters of growth. NPR's Andrea Hsu looks at whether this will translate into more jobs.
Lakshman Acheson of the Economic Cycle Research Institute says what's happening in manufacturing is characteristic of a real recovery.
Basically, the upturn is happening across the board. Household appliances, cars, consumer electronics.
Still, he says, don't expect to see millions of new manufacturing jobs.
We do have a very strong manufacturing base, partly because it's very high-tech and it's extremely productive.
But because they're so productive, they can operate with fewer workers.
Those people who have a job, you know, they're working really hard. They're probably working more than whatever, quote, full-time, unquote, means.
The less than rosy outlook for factory jobs has Jacob Johnson rethinking his operation. He runs the Manufacturing Training Alliance, a nonprofit in St. Louis. He recently scaled back the machining classes, but added two classes in heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
Those folks laid off from manufacturing were training them how to go into a house and make it energy efficient.
Stimulus money has helped create jobs there. And to mark the shift in focus, the Manufacturing Training Alliance will be renamed the Metropolitan Training Alliance on July 1st. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.